In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our sermon text, our gospel reading, Matthew, the fifth chapter. Brothers and sisters in Christ, the text and the sermon, at least the first part of the text and the sermon, are rather simple. They're straightforward. They're easy to understand. So, here's my question to you. What is the proper response when Jesus says something to you or to me? Now, the answer seems rather obvious, right? It's not a getcha question. No, what is the proper response when Jesus says something to you or something to me? The answer is straightforward, but it's important, like the text. It's not hard. It's simply this. Believe it. It's really that simple today. You believe what the Son says because the Son has authority. He has the authority of the Father. He who said, "Let there be light," and there was light, can say to the wind and the waves, "Peace, be still," and it is. He can say to the demons, "Come out," and they do. He can say to a paralyzed man who's never walked a day in his life, "Stand up, take up your mat, and go home." And so he does. He has that authority. So authority like no one before him, authority like no one after him. He simply speaks like God. And like God the Father, when the Son says something, it just happens. It is. So again, I told you the sermon is not hard to understand today, nor is the text. You'll be able to talk about it with your kids on the way home. Here it is. Let's review. What's the proper way to respond to Jesus when he says something about us? The answer is to believe it. Now, this morning, Jesus says something about his disciples, and he says something about us. He says, "You are the light of the world." He declares then, "You are the salt of the earth." His words are pretty clear. Like I told you, this text is not hard. It goes something like this. The world is in really bad shape. Sin abounds. Evil exists. It presses in on you. It presses down on you. And this world needs something. It needs salt. It needs something to flavor it. It needs something to preserve it. In essence, the earth needs salt. Or it goes like this. The earth is in really bad straits. It's a dark world we live in, fraught with the darkness of man's own vanity, pride, lust, greed, foolishness, envy. You name it, it's in you and it's around you. Death, it's there too. The darkness abides. And there's a great need for the true light of the world. There's a great need for the light of Christ so that people may see clearly, so that they can see the truth, so that they can see what God actually is like, even in a world of sin and suffering, sorrow and death. And we, Jesus says, we are that light. We are the light of the world. And we are that salt. He says it. So you are. And you are to believe it. Now, what are the consequences of not believing the word of Jesus, I wonder? Well, he gives us that today too. He leaves nothing to the imagination, hardly at all. He says, if salt loses its taste, how will it become salty again? What is it actually good for? It's good for nothing except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. Trampled underfoot. That does not sound too good, does it? And what's more, if you don't believe the things, the text becomes rather foolish and absurd. Right? You've got to take it at face value. Here's what I mean. Jesus says, look, you cannot hide a city on a hill, can you? No, you can't hide a city on a hill. That's stupid. That's foolish. And then he says, no one takes a lamp in a dark house, lights it, and then immediately covers it, do they? Covers it with a bucket. And you say, no, they don't. That's stupid too. And it's dangerous. It is actually stupid then and dangerous for you not to believe what the word of the Lord says, not to believe Jesus. It's very dangerous. It's a way that leads not to life, but to everlasting death. So this morning, all of that to say is I think that we should believe what Jesus says. When he says, you are the salt of the earth and you are the light of the world. That is, I have appointed you to make a difference in this world right here and right now as you live your lives. What difference? Well, here's where the text is a little vague. Here's where Jesus doesn't really give us anything specific. He just says that we are to do good works and that like that light can reveal something, our good works can reveal something good about our Father. He tells us that we are salt and that we are light and that today we need to do good works, and that the purpose of those good works is not somehow that you can earn your salvation and climb your way to heaven and any of that stuff. No, that's not what it is at all. If you're thinking that, that's stupid, that's foolish, that's not the text. Look again. What's the purpose? The purpose and hope is that other people see your good works, and in seeing your good works, they actually see something more. Those good works reveal something to them about who God is and what He does for people in this world. And that seeing that, they might actually glorify God, their Father, who is in heaven. Now, I know that with just a little bit of imagination and a little creativity, you can actually probably think of some good works to do. I don't need to really give them to you, do I? What's going on in your job? Who needs help there? How about your fellow students and your classmates at school? What about your family? What about your church? What about the Lidgerwood community? See, it's not hard, is it? You just got to open your eyes as you live your life in this world. Do you see? Do you see someone who's in great financial need? Care for them. Do you see someone who's in deep grief and deep sorrow? Don't just say hi and move on with your day. Stop and suffer with them. Stop and give them the comfort of Christ. Do you see someone who is being tempted and lured away by the devil? Lust, greed, pride, vanity, alcohol, drugs, false doctrine, false religions, false worldviews. Go after them. Seek them. Help them with God's word. Pray for them that they may be strengthened to come back. Could be a project in the church, could be a project in the community that needs your assistance. Use your gifts. Volunteer. Help out. But the truth is, I don't need to tell you what good works you got to do. Your heaven is secure. You don't have to do good works to get to heaven. No, you could do your good works because that's just what a Christian does. And seeing those things, others give glory to the Father in heaven. And I don't have to tell you what to do because get this. I don't walk around in your shoes. I don't meet the same people and have the same conversations with them that you do. I don't know them like you do. I don't see what you see. You are more capable of thinking about ways to be salt and light to those around you. And Jesus says that you are. So you believe him. Of course, I know it's too simple of a sermon, right? We should believe Jesus. It is simple in this way. It's one thing for me to stand up here and say that you should believe in Jesus. And it's another thing to believe in him. It's not enough for me to stand up here and tell you to believe in him. We cannot, by our own reason or strength, do that. So what I'd like to do now is stop telling you and rather just sort of show you something a little different. I want you to invite you to eavesdrop, to listen in on someone else's conversation. It's before this one in the text. It's last week, Matthew 5, 1 through 12. And I want you to hear what Jesus says about the certain kinds of people who are in need and what the good works actually do in revealing things to people. So I want you to hear what our Lord says about his own works, his own good works. He says, people who have nothing to offer God, who can never get their act together and get things right. He says, those people are really, really fortunate. He says that they're blessed, actually. Blessed, and you should call them saved. Why would that be the case? Well, it's because to them, the Lord and Master, the King, gives all his gifts. Forgiveness, life, salvation, a new identity, a new community, eternal belonging. All those kingly gifts belong to people that have nothing to give God in return. Jesus says this. He says that people who are willing to see this world rightly, as rotting, as dark, people who are willing to be troubled by that, to mourn and lament and cry out, how long? Well, those people are really, really, really blessed. Because one day soon, God will take all that mourning and all that pain and all that crying away. He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and those things will be no more. Jesus says to the people who are powerless and who cannot make anything happen, who can't like pull themselves up by their own bootstraps and like work real hard to please God, you might call them this, the meek. Those people are really blessed, man, because they will get to live with God in the new heaven and the new earth forever. Jesus said that people who had things that are not right in the world, things that they know are just not the way this world should be, those people are blessed. Why? Because God is going to come and make it right. God is going to fix this lost and dying world. At the cry of an archangel, at the sound of the trumpet, he is going to return in glory and make things new. And when those people see it, man, it will be utterly and fully and completely satisfying. You know what it is to hear a prayer heard and to look back, breathe a sigh of relief, and say, thank you, Lord, for that. Utterly and completely satisfying. Are you listening? The people who have nothing to offer God, nothing in their hand to bring, simply to the cross they cling, they get everything from God. That's you. That's me. How blessed are we? And there's more. Jesus said to the merciful people, blessed are those who show mercy, for they shall receive the mercy of God on the last day that covers all their sin. God will not look at them in wrath and anger and say, how dare you stand before me and ask to even get in? Don't you know who you are? No, those who have been merciful will be shown mercy. To them, God will say, I forgive you all your sins. Friend, welcome home. Move up higher. And Jesus said to the people who are pure in heart, that is, people who have their heart set on the Father and know that salvation is in the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and in Him alone, they shall find their salvation. He said that those people, they are really, really blessed because they're the ones who get to see God eyeball to eyeball and face to face and even hear the sound of his voice. Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you. And the people who make peace, well, they're blessed too. Because God will call them sons of God through faith. And God will offer them the peace of his only begotten Son. Peace be with you. Listen to Jesus. He says, in a rotting and dark world that hassles you and hates you and persecutes you and utters all kinds of evil falsely against you on his account, well, you are blessed. Blessed because God gives you his kingdom of forgiveness, his kingdom of belonging, his kingdom of eternity. That's verses 1 through 12. That's the good works of your God for you. Jesus is talking about you. You are really, really blessed right now. And on the last day. And so, you can believe Jesus when he now says to you, you are the salt of the earth, and you are the light of the world. He said it. You don't have to feel like it. You don't have to kick yourself for the horrible good works you didn't do and you should have done. You need only to hear your Lord. You are the salt. You are the light. And so you are, now and forever. Amen.